This is the Agency Profit Podcast, the podcast for agency owners that want to run a more profitable business that doesn't depend on them. Introducing your host, CEO and co-founder of Parakeeto, Marcel Petipaw.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Agency Profit Podcast. I'm psyched to introduce you all to someone that I met recently who was able to build and sell an agency for seven figures in under 3 years. That's right, from start to sale, seven figures in under 3 years. You're probably wondering how he did that. And that's, of course, what he's going to discuss on the show today. Today, he's the CEO and founder of a new company called Postaga, which is a very cool tool that helps you do outreach to get backlinks and features to promote the content that you're producing on your site. I've used it. It's very, very neat. So with all that, I want to thank you for being on the show today, Mr. Andy Cavasso.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
My pleasure. So, of course, the question in everyone's mind is, how did you do it? How did you go from start to sale in under 3 years? But before we dive into the weeds of that, I'd love to give you an opportunity to just share who you are, what you do with our audience.
Sure. Hey, everyone. My name is Andy Cavasso. I started and built and sold a successful web design agency. And today I'm running Postaga, which you mentioned, which helps agencies, helps marketers build links to their websites, promote them, get backlinks, ultimately really just get more traffic. That's what I'm working on today. But kind of what got me to where I am today is my agency, which was JurisPage. I started it in 2013 and we sold it in 2016. Basically, I'd be lying if I said I planned to start it, grow it, and then sell it within 3 years. It ended up working out. It all worked out. And knowing what I know now, I want to help whoever I can. That's kind of thinking about how do I best scale my agency and put it in the best position possible so it can get acquired.
Awesome. So you mentioned it wasn't really the plan. It kind of happened a little bit out of your control. You know, before we started recording the episode, you mentioned almost alluding to by accident having that business grow. If that wasn't the plan, really quick, like why did you start the agency and what was the plan?
Basically, we had created what was originally geared to be a self-service page builder for businesses, but then it became more clear that the businesses that we were getting in touch with by virtue of our networks, they were more interested in having us do it for them. And so the focus became less on the builder that we were working on and more on building an agency. And then we had to figure out how to build this agency. And the key to it growing was focusing on a specific industry, a specific client type, and foregoing other opportunities so we could really build a brand focused around that industry. And we chose specifically the legal vertical, building websites and doing marketing for lawyers and law firms. And from that, we were able to really get into the industry, build relationships, get customers, build a portfolio to show other potential clients, and then grow significantly from that.
So you mentioned niching down into the legal space was important. Obviously, you guys had a pretty specific service niche as well. So you were really setting up a tight target in terms of who you were going to work with. Were there any other like really core factors in allowing you to go from start to sale that quickly, scaling up, and then also being positioned for a sale in such a short period of time?
So the biggest secret to our success that a lot of this stemmed from was, I think two things. One was our content marketing and two was our productizing of our service. In terms of productizing our service, the one thing that we saw was when we were looking at the competitive landscape, so many of the other web designers that served law firms or were generalists that were happy to work with law firms, they weren't publishing their prices. They weren't really having fixed scope. Here is what you get. It was kind of like people would jump on a sales call, try and figure out how much money they could shake from the client and then send them a proposal. But what we did early on is we published our pricing. We set clear packages. Here is what you get. One of our earliest iterations, we were doing websites at the low end for $1,000, you will get this many pages, which you can have content on, this many lawyer bio pages, a contact page, a blog page, and so on. And that kind of helped us get a lot of leads early on because we were very transparent and we tried to be as transparent as possible. And especially in marketing, there are a lot of businesses that weren't particularly transparent about SEO and marketing and saying, you'll pay us and we'll do the marketing. Don't worry about it. But we tried to be as transparent as possible. And that also carried over into our content marketing, where we were very educational focused, trying to explain things. And even if we knew that, like, the client, for example, probably wouldn't go on an SEO campaign themselves because they're busy practicing law, we wanted them to understand that, one, we know what we're talking about, and two, give them a bit of education so that could build the relationship with us and build the trust. And that really goes into the kind of content marketing aspect.
Now, obviously, you know, in order to do content marketing right, you have to know who you're writing for. You have to know who you're creating content for, what their pain points are, what kind of value you can bring. So obviously at the core of all this, it's, you know, niching down. And I think we've already alluded to a couple of things that I know strikes the fear into a lot of agency owners' hearts, saying no to work, narrowing the focus, being really specific. You know, what were some of the bigger challenges and some of the more important keys to successfully choosing a niche and having that be like a really productive thing for you guys?
Though we knew that we'd forego revenue from other sources, which seemed scary because it's like we're leaving money on the table, there was just overall so much greater opportunity by being able to build a brand and a reputation in our market that people would seek us out, that we would get referrals from customers in this industry, which we did, that we would be able to build partnerships that are industry focused, which we did. And that's where our eventual acquiring company came from, was the industry, because we had built a reputation. They knew who we were serving similar clients, and it was a kind of a perfect fit.
Hey, it's Marcel here, and I just want to take a quick second to thank you for tuning into the show. I hope you're getting so much value out of today's episode. And if you are, then I want to encourage you to head on over to parakeeto.com, where you can get access to even more great resources to help you run a more profitable agency, like additional episodes of the show, blog posts detailing the things we talk about, as well as lots of free downloadable checklists, spreadsheet templates, and other resources, all designed to help you run a more profitable agency. So with that, hope you enjoy the rest of the episode, and I'll let you get back to it. The next thing I want to do, shifting gears, is to kind of dig into the acquisition process. Now, I know you probably signed some non-disclosure agreements, so we'll have to be careful about exactly what we get into here. But generally speaking, what was the acquisition process like, and what were some of the big lessons that you learned through that process in terms of what's important when it comes to maximizing your value as an agency?
Sure. So part of, I think, what made us an attractive acquisition target in general, specifically, I think it was our marketing. We did a very good job of our marketing, from our content to our event marketing, our networking and everything like that. We became pretty well known in our space. And through our content marketing initially, we were able to develop partnerships with many different companies, from doing reviews, for example, of many different software and apps and tools in our industry. We got on their radar. We were able to do co-marketing efforts like webinars. We got some of them, we had affiliate agreements with and things like that. And others, we'd have referral relationships for sending clients each other's way. We got approached by one of our partners who we had mutual clients with. And they liked our marketing, and they really seemed very aligned with us in terms of mission and who the clients that we were going after. And I think the phrase that they used was like, all right, here, like, with our combined efforts, we have like a 2+2=5 situation, where us working together, marketing to both our clients together as well as the industry as a whole, we can both grow more and grow faster together. Beyond that, having our services productized so that you could effectively remove a single person like myself as the founder, it could still operate without me, or it could still operate without my co-founder. Having processes and a system in place means that you have a business that can run without you, that if you get hit by a car, today the business can still run.
What were some of the other things that came up during that process that you thought were interesting in terms of what bolstered up the value?
One thing that was very, very important, which I think is really important to stress for web designers and agencies, is recurring revenue. Without recurring revenue, I don't think any of this would have happened. So we had recurring revenue from a few different ways. One, all of our web design clients were on an ongoing hosting maintenance support plan with us. We wouldn't take on any clients if they would not be with us for the long term. The ongoing deliverables included things like tech support when they needed. We would also provide monthly reports on traffic. We also offered call tracking integrations, things like that at the very basic level. And so this way, you could have a bad month, a bad quarter in terms of new clients signed, but you'd always have that baseline revenue from your recurring revenue. And that really, that increased our valuation, I think.
Did you end up navigating this acquisition by yourself? Did you work with a broker? How did that go down, and how stressful was the diligence process?
We weren't necessarily looking to get acquired, which I think in the end worked better in our favor because it was easier for us to say, no, we're not interested. Once we kind of broadly came to terms, and started getting into the due diligence process, and there was a massive list of things that the buyer needed to see, and they had an agent that was working with them. We had a lot of the materials fairly easily ready to go. I definitely spent like a solid month of my time just putting together documents and packet for this package to get to the buyer and their agent on their side. On our side, we also had a lawyer. Although I am a lawyer, I am not an M&A lawyer. And so hiring our own lawyer was definitely important to all of this to make sure that everything would work out for everybody and that we'd understand all the terms and that would be all fine.
Awesome. So it sounds like diligence was definitely a thing and being more organized about your specifically your financials, your playbooks, your SOPs, all your metrics around marketing and sales would have been certainly a time saver in that kind of a situation.
Absolutely. And if your books aren't organized now, here is a call to action to get your books organized. Whether you're looking to get acquired or not, your books really need to be tidy and to make sense. Reconcile all that stuff. Seriously. You should know your cash flow projections. You should know how much revenue is going to be coming in next month if you don't make a new sale. Like, all this stuff is important to running an agency. Even if you're like, all right, I'll definitely get to it later. There's no time like the present, so get to it.
Awesome. Great and sound advice from Andy. So with all of that, I think we've talked about a lot of important things. To recap what we've discussed here, you know, getting this agency from start to sale in under 3 years, probably the most important things were niching down, which allowed you to get really clear on who your perfect customer was, create productized services that could scale, create marketing that could scale and generate leads in an efficient way. And when it came to sell, all of those things ended up being factors that improved the valuation of your company on top of having recurring revenue built into the business through productized services in an ongoing way. And the due diligence process being organized was a time saver or is a time saver if you're lucky enough to be in that position. And with that, Andy, thanks so much for joining us on the show and for sharing your story.
Hey, thanks so much. This was a lot of fun.
Cheers. And for those of you listening at home, make sure you leave us a comment down below. Wherever you're listening to this, let us know what you got from the episode and feel free to reach out if you got any questions. Thanks again for listening and we'll catch you in the next episode. Well, that's all for today's episode of the Agency Profit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, make sure you subscribe so you never miss another episode. And make sure you head on over to parakeeto.com to get access to lots of other great resources to help you run a more profitable agency. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode.